Good morning. If I haven't met you, my name is Russell. I went for a haircut, as some of you may have noticed. Nice, thank you, Mark. I heard that. Yesterday, and I went into the hairdressers, and the lady said, "Can I have your name?" And I said, "My name's Russell." And she said, "Sorry, could you repeat that?" And I said, "Russell." And she said, "I'm sorry, could you spell that for me, please?" So I spelled R-U-S-S-E-L. "Oh, Russell." And I said, "Yeah, that's what I said." I said, "Don't worry, it's a strange accent." So another hairdresser said, "Don't worry, don't feel bad. The other day, a guy came in and his name was Bob and I asked him to spell it." Anyway, God is good. Amen. Don't you love the way God works? I just love the words that have come this morning. I love the fact that God speaks, doesn't he? Have you encountered that? God speaks, and I'm trusting by the power of the Holy Spirit that he speaks this morning. Whenever God speaks, he always comes through love. He speaks through love. But what God speaks, although it's off the basis of love and the platform of love, he loves us enough not to leave us alone. So often when he speaks things into our hearts. I don't know if that's happened with you, but with me, God speaks things into my heart sometimes that I don't really want to hear, but I need to hear. And so I'm trusting this morning, if you want to take my phone number down, 250-619-2141. If anything that you hear you don't like, which you probably will hear something along the way, please give me a call. I don't mind. But I love God enough to speak what I believe is the truth. The Bible says the truth sets captives free. And I'm trusting over my own life a new measure of freedom. BJ brought an amazing word this morning about freedom. And I think so too often we've been lulled into thinking freedom is when I feel free and it's all about me. And I think God loves us enough to make freedom bigger than just about me. Isn't that great? We're involved in something that's bigger than just me. I don't know if any of you have watched these big epic movies. The one that comes to mind is Braveheart. Remember Braveheart? If you've watched Braveheart with Mel Gibson, movie all about freedom. Don't you remember that scene where he rides along, "Freedom"? Okay, I did better than him, I agree. But in that movie, at the end, the guy that was shouting freedom, the guy that was trying to proclaim this freedom, was the guy that actually died with his insides all ripped out at the end. But yet, it brought about freedom for a nation. See, freedom was not so much about him. It was about the collectiveness of what was going to be achieved. And in our midst, we have the privilege of sitting and participating in something that is bigger than me as an individual, bigger than us as a corporate group. It's about the king and his kingdom. And he wants to bring freedom. Amen. Can I have an amen to that? Freedom. God is all about freedom. And so I want to speak about the power of God this morning. We're going to have Ken next week. And I don't know about you, but I'm anticipating power of God to speak into my life, to speak into our lives corporately through the power of the Holy Spirit. But folk, I don't know about you, but I've often faltered and I've made the wrong choice. I've made the power of God about one thing, saying, "God, your power is there for me." And it's true. God's power is there for me. But I want to preach this morning on a title that I've named, "The Power of God for You, in You, and Through You." See, when we stop with the power of God just for me, we have a half-baked gospel. We have a gospel that is not a gospel based on God's love, which is active. It's based on a gospel of love that is passive. And God's love for us is not passive, church. Think of how he loves you. Think of what he's done in your life. Has there ever been a moment where God has passively loved you? He's actively loved us. He went after us. In fact, while we were still sinners, Christ died for me. That is active love. It's not half-baked. And so, I've been reading through Acts again. Acts chapter 2, if you read the book of Acts, the wonderful book. If you haven't read it, I want to encourage you to. It's the birth of the church, really. It's the birth of the church under the power of the Holy Spirit. And Acts chapter 2 starts with this incredible outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And now the end of Acts chapter 2, we read in verse 47, what the devoted Christian life looks like. Okay, that's the word that the ESV translation used, the devoted, and it says this. I'll just read the scripture. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and praising God and having favor with all people, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. Woohoo! Isn't that an amazing picture of the church? Four things they devoted themselves to in this passage. The apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to hearing the Rhema word of God. Secondly, fellowship. They got together because they knew that the Spirit of God speaks and the power of God comes through as each one of us interact with each other, and the Spirit speaks into your life through me and my life through you. It's part of the devoted Christian life. The third thing, to the breaking of bread. That for me says one thing. They never forgot to remember what it was truly about. It was about Jesus. That's why they broke bread. It's a remembrance of Jesus and who He is and what He has done and the power that we have through Him despite us, which is amazing. And the fourth thing, and prayer. They realized that there was a dependency that needed to come upon them where they could not do what God had called them to do outside being dependent on Him. Four things. And then I love it. It goes in to tell us the results of this way of life. 11 things that happened as a result of this way of life, of these four things. It says this, and awe came upon every soul. I'm just going to run through these quickly. And awe came upon every soul. Isn't that something of a desire in your heart for the city of Nanaimo, for the cities that we are in, that awe would come upon every person about who Jesus is? It's a desire of mine. It was a sense of wonder. There wasn't boredom. It was a sense of wonder. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Miracles became normal. Miracles were normal. And all who believed were together. There was interdependency as Jesus joined His body together. And all had all things in common. There was a sense of unity. And they were selling their possessions. The needy were valued. And day by day, attending the temple together, that just speaks to me. Wanting to meet becomes natural, not programmed. It became natural. And breaking bread in their homes. The homes were also a natural place where the supernatural could take place. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. Delirious generosity is the mark of a Christian. Praising God, worship was as natural as breathing. And having favor with all the people, realizing that, folk, we have a message that is attractive to people. We have been lied to by the enemy to think that what we do not have is what the world needs. What we have is what the world needs. It is attractive. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Healthy church brings people to Jesus. What had happened to the early church here? Well, I want to use an illustration to do this. I don't know if you've heard this, but some people say that the longer you're married to your spouse, the more you start to look like them. Hey? I see some people like, oh, but nervous laughter there. Some people even say you start to look like your dogs. Okay, enough of that. It's cool, eh? So, you may, that's the best. Anybody look like their dog here? Don't put up your, I saw a hand, thank you there. Anyway, what had happened here, I want to read a scripture, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Paul is saying when the Spirit of God comes to live within a person, He will bring about the family likeness. We become more like Jesus. What was happening here was that the church, through the Spirit of God, the church started operating in the power of God and therefore was reflecting the very character and nature of Jesus. Now the breakdown for me often comes, folk, and I can only speak about my life. This is not me pointing fingers at you. This is pointing fingers at me. I know I have the power. I know I have the Spirit of God living with me. Within me, and I know that by virtue of that, I also have the power of God, but I don't believe that. I don't operate that in that. Or if I do, I stop it at the level where it's just for me. And God's, there's a scary scripture for me, and I don't know if this is the same scripture that's the scariest for you in the Bible, but 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 to 5 says this, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be, now just listen to this list. People will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. I don't know if that's a scary scripture for you. If it's not, it should be. Certainly it's for me. There's a guy called Bob Mumford, and he describes it in another way. You see, Deuteronomy 7, if you read over the children of Israel and the history of Israel, Deuteronomy 7, chapter 1 to verse 1 to 3, talks about seven nations that would hold Israel back from entering into the promised land. We don't have time to read it, but if you read 1-7, it says, when the Lord God brings you into the land and it goes through, you will enter to take possession of it and clears away nations before you, and it goes through the Hittites, the Gershites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, etc. Seven nations more numerous than mighty than you, and here's the key, and when the Lord God gives them over to you and you defeat them, then you must devote them to complete destruction. You will make no covenant with them and show no mercy. And folk, today, there are giants in our lives which hold us back from fully understanding the revelation of the power of God in me, for me, and through me. And these things are things which the world tells you are cool, and the world tells you is what motivates a good life and what brings freedom. But actually, what it just brings is it brings us into a place of bondage. And I want to speak these out, and I know some of these things might be the ones where you start dialing my number. Because actually, Paul's already dialing. Because you see, the problem is the purposes and the power of God and the Spirit-led life are affected by our attitudes, actions, and motivations. You see, the scripture said God gives these nations, these things over to us, the things which bring destruction in our lives or selfishness, but we have to defeat them. That's what the scripture says. And these things are, listen to these words, look good. Imagine, okay, let me say this first. Imagine that on the screen up here, I'll use myself so I don't point any fingers. Imagine, I've just thought of this. Imagine if all the events of my life were to flash up there where I made decisions. And the decisions, how many of the decisions would show to have been made off the back of these giants? Think of your life now. I want to look good. I want to feel good. I want to be right. I want to stay in control. I have a hidden agenda. Is there personal advantage in this for me? Will I remain undisturbed? I don't know about you, but those things scare me. And you see, folk, these are not, it's not that God's a killjoy. God's not saying, I don't want you to look good and feel good and all these kind of things. But folk, when our lives become a motivation and our freedom becomes motivated off the basis of these, we minimize the power of God because our motives and our attitudes and our actions and what we do become undermined. The early church killed the giants. That Deuteronomy 7:3, it says, God gives them over to us, but you have to defeat them. The early church defeated them. That's what this passage in Acts is about. The early church is coming and saying, I recognize that up until now, my freedom has been a false freedom. I've thought freedom was just me getting on a boat and fishing and making money and having my own life and it all going cool. And suddenly these guys start following Jesus, leaving everything, leaving all their, and in the scriptures, selling their possessions, giving to the poor, following God wholeheartedly. And suddenly they realize, I get it. I get it. This is not, the power of God is not just for me. The power of God is in me, through me. Yes, for me, but there's a purpose of it. It's to see freedom come to more than just me. If we have not had an encounter, and I want to say this, folk, if we have not had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, we will not be able to see the encounters waiting to happen. You see, what follows this passage, and this is where I want to get to this morning, what follows this passage is an account of a miracle that happens. Peter and John, we're going to read it. We're going to go through just scripture by scripture. And before you look at this and before you put up mental walls in your own mind and go, no, no, these guys were super spiritual. I want to tell you, these guys were ordinary men. Just like you and me. They were ordinary men. We cannot hide behind thinking that we have to be extraordinary to be used by God. You are extraordinary because God lives within you. Not because of what you do or what you bring to the table or who you are. Acts chapter 3 verse 1, it starts off, and I'm just going to read the scripture. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And I want to bring a couple of keys, hopefully, out of this, folk, that when we have expectation for next week with Ken coming, and when we have expectation in our lives, and when we're talking about Love Your City, and I'll refer to that just now. Folk, what is our expectation? What is our expectation for the level of freedom God wants to bring in our lives, through us, into others' lives, through this church corporately, into the city and beyond? See, and there, here Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour, the ninth hour, to pray. The healthy Christian life, I want to say, is disciplined. Discipline is healthy. This is not, I'm not talking about regimental discipline like I'm in the army here. But I'm talking about discipline being healthy, not because they were going, this did not happen to them because they were going to pray and because they were looking for a miracle. They were just merely looking for God, more of God. I want more of you, Lord. And does our lives reflect that in the disciplines that we institute in our lives on a weekly basis, on a daily basis? Does our life reflect that first and primary discipline? God, I want more of you. What do I have to do to get more of you? That's a challenge for me, folk. I can be so lazy in the things of God, if I'm honest. But if I have to ask myself this question, I'm convicted about that. What do I do in my life that brings me closer to the purposes of God? And how active am I in pursuing those things? Do I want to communicate with God? Goes on to say in verse 2, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms for those entering the temple. Folk, we have to understand that the revelation that the power of God is not just for me comes when we understand that Jesus wants to rescue victims. He did it in your life. He did it in my life if we know Jesus. He rescued us. What is a victim? A victim is somebody that's dependent on others. A victim can be somebody from birth. This man was a victim from birth, solely dependent on others. He's begging. Begging is just a sense of a declaration of dependence, on somebody. He was trapped. A victim is someone who is a slave to their circumstances. And folk, even as believers, this is the, take this in love. Okay, this message is love, overriding everything else. But for me, I have to ask myself so many times, am I a slave to my circumstances? Have I allowed things into my life that are keeping me circumstantially blocked from the progress of the power of God in my life? Do I allow circumstances to dictate what I believe God can do? Do I allow circumstances to stop me from pursuing wholeheartedly what God has for me? And the circumstances, this is the trick. The circumstances are not always bad. Jesus came to rescue us from our circumstances. Acts 3 verse 3, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. You see, this man was not expecting a miracle, folk. Probably he was looking for pity. For him, it was the same day as any other. It says, daily he had been laid there. Every day he must have sat there just asking people that came past, please, money, money. He had no expectation for something different this day. Emotional beggars settle for a fix. Okay, now I want to explain this. And I'm not hitting on begging, if you understand what I'm saying this morning. I'm talking about a settling for less than what God has for us. I can be an emotional believer, a beggar, as a Christian. And all that means is that I can settle for, if I just get this, next week if I come to Ken and I just receive the power of God and I just receive the word of God and I go away feeling good, it's wonderful. And we've settled for a fix. And we haven't understood the full ramification of what God wants to do in me, through me, and for me. Verse 4 to 7, and Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Folk, to be used by God to the fullness of what he has for us, we need to focus on others. So much of the word that the church, in brackets, brings over people is that the focus is all on me. But here we see that actually to be used by God, we have to turn our attention away from ourselves. We have to say, God, I need to focus on you. Peter engaged this man. He paid attention to him. Before there was a miracle, there was engagement. These guys needed to lurch out of their programs to focus on the need. How often do we stick in our programs and we don't focus on the need? If they just went about their same walk as they did every day they went to the temple, they would have ignored that man and missed the opportunity to see the power of God at work. Love your city. Has it just become a program in the church for 10 years? We've been to the park. You see, the problem that we can also pick up along the way, folk, is expecting and believing that God values certain things that I do more than others. God values me as a person. God values me if I never did another thing in my life for Him. And this was the message that came through this morning in that prophetic word. God would still love me the same. I don't have to do anything to receive God's love. But He does want to use me. He does want to use us. So when we look at something like Love Your City, we can be sitting there, and I'm speaking about myself here. I've been here for 2 years in the life of Oceanside. Not 2 full years, but 2 years coming up for Love Your City. 2 Love Your Cities. And I can sit there and go, you know what? Handing out water on a Saturday, oh, that's okay, you know, but there's better things to do. But if somebody wanted me to stand up and preach or something in front of a whole crowd, oh God, that would be wonderful. You know, your power would then really be displayed. Isn't it true though, folk? We value what we do differently to how God values what we do. That's why in His Word He said, even if you give a glass of water in My name, you've served Me, you've reflected Me, you've allowed the power of God to work through you into the life of somebody else. I'm telling you, folk, don't put blocks, don't put mental blocks onto how God can use you or how He can't use you because of what you do. God can use us extravagantly if we just allow Him to, in the simplest of ways. But it takes us prioritizing, it takes us putting into the right perspective the understanding of how the power of God works. It's Him doing the work in us, not us doing the work for Him. Don't have to try. Peter didn't try and heal this man. Peter brought what he had. What did he have? He had the name of Jesus. He had faith to see this man healed. Isn't it amazing that even in the circumstance, this man didn't even have faith for himself to be healed? He didn't come and say, give me healing, please. I need to be healed. And if you've got a bit of money on the sideline, that'll help. He came and said, no, I just want money. That was his gaze. That was his focus. In that place, God broke through. Jesus, you see, said this. He said, my job is to do the will of My Father who has sent Me. And folk, that's when the power of God begins to operate in our lives fully. It's when we give ourselves over to God and say, God, I want to do what You want me to do. I want to just do Your will. I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what You want me to do. And the effect of that statement in Peter and John's life at this stage was a man that was healed. It says, and leaping up, and he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And church, when we give God what we have, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Folk, when we think of times of refreshing, and I'm praying so much more for times of refreshing. Mark's been speaking of that over the last time, and this is not on the other side of the scale to this. This is part of this message. God wants to bring times of refreshing over us. He wants to fill us with more of His power, fill us with more of His love, fill us with more of the evidence of His Spirit. When people encounter the power of God, they move from being outside of the presence of God to being able to experience the presence of God. That happened with this man here on the road. Never been able to go into the temple because he was lame. Suddenly he's able to walk and praise and go into the temple and glorify this king. And who gets the glory? Jesus. The power of God gets people's attention. The power of God connects people. The power of God brings life. The power of God causes people to worship. I guess in my own life, I'm just saying, God, I don't want to settle for what I know is mediocre. I want to fall in love with Jesus more and more. I want to be somebody that reflects, like that early church did, the fullness of the provision and the power and the lavishness of God. I want to see miracles. Do you want to see miracles? I want to see miracles in my own life. I want to see miracles in other people's lives. Not for miracles' sake, but because when the power of God operates, we see Jesus and Jesus gets glorified. The power of God displayed through this miracle opened up an opportunity to present the gospel. And if you carry on reading from 12 through to 26, Peter addresses the people and says, men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by your own power or piety you have made him walk? You see, this is not us. It's not for our glory. It's not for anything. Even Love Your City coming up in August. Folk, things like this. This is not for us. This is not to make Oceanside's name great. If that were the case, there's better ways to do it. It's also not just to have a great day for us. But it's because it's an opportunity to present the gospel. through the passing of a glass of water, through the helping a kid on the slip and slide, through inviting neighbors and friends, through our personal interactions one-on-one. At the end of the day, my heart is that I want to see Jesus glorified. And in this church, I know that's the mission of this church. And I'm so blessed to be part of this church because here it's a safe place. There's a place where we can say, God, I believe you. I'm trusting for you to use me. And I want more of your power in my life. And when we started this meeting, there was a sense of freedom wanting to come into the life of people here. Paul mentioned that. The words came about love, love being unconditional. And that's all true. And folk, if we just wait for the occasions, like next week, and I just pray and trust that you don't only come to next week, but you bring unsaved folk along to next week, because I believe God's power will be manifest. But when you come next week, don't come with just, God, I want your power for me. Come with the revelation that God has got us on a journey and he's got us on a mission. And he will use this church. He will use you if you allow him to display his power and to bring about glory for his name's sake. That is my heart's desire for my life. And I trust that it's your heart's desire for your life. I felt that there was a response this morning, folk. And this is a simple message, but I hope you've heard it. I hope you've heard that in our hearts we can allow ourselves to be dictated to, and we can think freedom is a false freedom. Because true freedom comes when we don't live for ourselves, but we live for others. And it's in this place God wants to give you and me, the ability to be able to walk this life. Give you and me the ability to be able to live natural lives supernaturally. Where we're expecting God to do amazing things for His glory and His name's sake. But we have to be open to that. And it might cause us to say, God, I need to change. I need to change. I need to change where my standards have been set by how good I look, how good I feel, how much in control I am. Some of those other things I talked about. God, I want you to be in control. That's really when the power of the Holy Spirit can come in and he can do his work in our lives. And I'm praying this morning. I'm going to hand over to Paul now, but I'm praying that even in this moment, we've got some time still. It can be a moment where we reflect and we can say, God, I don't want to settle. I don't want to settle. I don't want to settle for a program that's happened, or just doing the same old thing. I want to settle for nothing less than doing your will and your will alone. Which means I want to settle for an expectation of you doing bigger things than I am capable of doing. Come and fill me. Come and move in me. Come and awaken me to your Spirit. Come and awaken me to the power of God that you want to release in my life so that I'm not only blessed, but there can be fruit that goes out. Amen.
Just going to ask if the worship team could come forward. Just from the start of the prayer meeting this morning right through, just really seeing the heart of the Father speaking to us this morning, and you see God speaking this piece of love and response. And friends, we can hear a word like this and we can run out and try and operate in what we think is the power of God, or we can and find out that it's actually in our own strength, or we can operate out of His power and His strength. And I really feel before we move on this morning that I'd love to see us respond to this, and I'm going to ask the worship team if they would play softly for us, and if we would stand, we will worship the Lord. And I really feel there's three different people that I want you to respond, because when we receive the love of God, there's a response in us. And that picture that BJ was painting is actually a picture of what the Father is doing with us today, where we realize that we are called, where we realize that we are significant, where we realize that the power of God can live and move in us. I'm going to call out some of the things that I feel that there's response for today, and I'm going to ask you to come forward and for our leadership team that's here represented to come and pray with these people. If this is you, this is a time to step forward, not to hold back. It's a response to not just wait, should I? No, this is a time that we just step into what God is saying. The first one, I really feel right from the start that there's those here that need to receive this love. You hear this word, but you need to receive His love this morning. I feel it's actually to the point where you feel as though you've got it, that on the outside you put up a front and show for others to see that you've got it, but actually deep inside you question whether you actually have received. Deep inside you know that there's more, but you don't know how to ask for it, and you don't know how to receive it. If that's you this morning, please come forward. We're going to pray with you. So if you need to receive, come forward. We want to pray with you. Don't hold back. Don't stay where you are. The second thing I really feel to pray for on the back of what Russ has shared this morning, if you're hearing the word this morning of the power of God and you're desperate for the power of God in your life, that you're desperate for another level of the power of God at work in your life, I want to ask you to come forward. We want to pray with you. Please, friends, don't hold back. When we ask for good things, our Father in heaven gives them. When we ask for His power to be at work in us and through us, He wants to work through us. And I believe that there's those of you here that when you look in the natural, Russ spoke of circumstances that can dictate, that you even look at circumstance and you go, outside of the power of God, I can't do it, but I don't know how to do it in the power of God. If that's you, come step forward. Our leadership team, please start coming forward and praying for these folks. The third thing for this morning is you feel that you have the power of God working in your life. You feel the power of God, but you have no idea how to express that. You don't know how to see it worked out, and you're trusting for gifts. You're trusting for God to speak through you, through healing, through words of knowledge, through prophecy, through the gifting He's given you. I feel like there's those of you here that are bursting at the seams because you feel the power of God, but you don't know how to let it out. If that's you, please come forward. We want to pray for you this morning. We want to pray for an outpouring. Leaders, if you please come forward and pray for these folks. The rest of you, I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us in some worship softly. I want to ask you to connect with the Father. Stay in an attitude of worship. Don't be distracted. Let's worship the Lord. Thank you.